This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time, John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. And John, good to have you with us again in a very busy and eventful week.
It certainly is, but it's always a pleasure to be here.
Thank you, sir. Let's start with the U.S. military action in Libya. That's what they're calling it now, kinetic military action. It's not technically a war, according to the Obama administration. As you well know, John, the liberals and conservatives upset with the president for not consulting Congress, for what they say is a lack of clarity on exactly what this mission will entail, how long it will take, that sort of thing. The president says that there's a clear humanitarian imperative that we have to take care of here. Overall, the polls seem to suggest support for it, but not nearly as much as we've seen at the outset of previous military actions in places like Iraq and Afghanistan, and even well before that. As this week has played out, what do you see as the major headline here in Washington?
Well, the major headline in Washington could well be a very large question mark. You said it best, Greg. The liberals are upset because Barack Obama, with the U.S. already trying to contain its involvement in Iraq and Afghanistan, is now taking on a third mission in Libya, albeit as a limited partner with France, Britain, and the Arab League, depending on what day it is. Again, that's not a promising way to commit U.S. air power to action in a very unknown and dangerous part of the world. In addition, conservatives are extremely upset because the president has sought no approval, no statement from Congress, but simply relied on the UN resolution. And then there's the question about just what authority the U.S. will have, along with the French and the British. Now, initially, there was agreement that this would be good if the U.S. could perform a couple of bombing raids and then turn the mission over to the French. That hasn't happened yet. And newspapers reporting today that so far the U.S. has undertaken the bulk of the assignments, and the cost of this will be in U.S. hands in the largest way. So again, questions abound from how we're in it, what we do, and where we go from here. And the last time I checked, Gaddafi's still in power in Tripoli.
John, we always ask you to make predictions. The prediction from this administration has been that command and control will be transferred within days. The operation in its entirety will be over in weeks, not months. Do you think that that will be the case?
Well, I think it certainly is, because every time a sortie has been flown against the Gaddafi forces, the ill-armed and disorganized rebels gain. But here again, we're talking about another question that comes up. Whether it's over in 3 weeks, a month, 2 months, do we know what comes after Gaddafi? We keep hearing about the rebels. There's report that some of them are trained by al-Qaeda. We see the flag of the former King Idris overthrown by Gaddafi 43 years ago and now being revived in image with pictures and official flags. And yet, are we certain they'll have a constitutional monarchy put back in operation? I don't think anyone out there can predict what happens after Gaddafi, and one thinks of the old saying, be careful what you wish for. You may get it.
John, real quickly, you mentioned what happens after Gaddafi. Most everyone wants him to be gone when this is all over, but we've also heard some rumblings that the way this may play out may mean that he's not out of power. What's your prediction there?
Well, I think he's going to be a lot more difficult to get out of power than people imagine. I thought back in February, before there was any involvement by a foreign air force, foreign missiles, that Gaddafi was going. It seemed as though the rebels were headed for Tripoli at that point. But of course, all of the strongest weaponry that Gaddafi had, air power and on the ground, were concentrated in Tripoli, not Baida or Benghazi, and he turned the tide. And then it took a victory by proxy for the rebels to get back in place. And every other day or so, Gaddafi emerges, pounding the air with his fists and vowing to fight to the end and wishing Algiers and Vietnam upon France and the U.S. respectively. Doesn't sound like a person who's going to go quietly into the night.
John, let's move on to some other news very briefly. Let's start with the situation involving Missouri Senator Claire McCaskill having to admit this week that she improperly billed taxpayers for payment for the use of her private plane to the tune of about $287,000. $1,000. She also didn't properly register the plane for its storage in St. Louis County. She claims that this was a matter of mere oversights. Others say she's been the one trying to portray herself as an ethical watchdog, and this takes the mask off of that. She's obviously up in 2012, could be facing a very tough race anyway. Well, how will this impact all that?
Well, Claire McCaskill was certainly considered one of the most vulnerable of the 23 Democratic senators up next time. In a very marginal state that went for John McCain over Barack Obama, she only narrowly won her seat 5 years ago. And it looks like a Republican year in Missouri in 2012. That said, it certainly didn't help her cause when she admitted being behind in payments of, are you seated, $287,000 in back property taxes on her plane. She promptly announced that this was oversight, she was paying it, and she was going to get rid of, quote, that damn plane, unquote. But again, this is someone who ran before and closed a commercial once defending her husband's business practices by saying, we paid every dime of the taxes we owed. And that's virtually an exact quote. She has two strong Republican opponents vying for nomination, former State Treasurer Sarah Steelman, attorney and former congressional candidate Ed Martin. More candidates may get in the race. I'd say this, I'm not going to write Claire McCaskill off, but it slows the momentum.
John, let's switch to presidential politics for 2012 now. We had Tim Pawlenty earlier this week announcing the formation of his exploratory committee. Also today we hear Michelle Bachmann is planning to start one maybe around June or perhaps a little bit sooner. I guess her candidacy would be a little bit more of a surprise than Pawlenty, who most suspected would be running this time around. What do you make of the timing of their announcements and their chances?
I talked to sources close to the Minnesota congresswoman earlier in the week, and they said she was very close to getting in the presidential race. And while she plans to enter the debates that will start to be held this year and some of the early primaries, she will not relinquish the congressional seat that she's held for three terms now. So Michelle Bachmann will be a presence. One other factor is this. She perhaps is the closest figure outside of Alaska to Sarah Palin. An aide confirmed that the two talk frequently. My guess is if Michelle Bachmann is going this far, Sarah Palin will not, and in all likelihood will say she's not running and that she will turn over her organization to her Minnesota counterpart. Now, what that leads to where Sarah Palin goes, I'm not sure. I think it'll be exciting to cover.
John, we'll have to leave it there. Unfortunately, thanks so much for being with us as always.
Increasingly finding that I never have a dull day at work, I'm John Gizzi on Capitol Hill.
John Gizzi is political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.